thank you guys. I appreciate that. And again, it's always important for us to sing in the spirit and the truth. And I always say that it's a blessing to be able to wake up and see another day. It is every day. Now it seems like when I get up, I'm just a little nervous as I come out of my sleep. But think about it. Where do we go? Where do we go? Are we alive only when the physical body is awake? We're still alive even though the physical body is sleeping. And there's an eternal part of us called a soul that goes on for eternally. Where does it go? Where is it traveling? You see, Satan even tries to get us when we're sleeping. So we need to pray to God before when we get on our knees, before we go to bed, that God will protect us even while we're sleeping. There's a spiritual realm that is as true as the physical, right? It exists. We don't know where the soul goes and wanders to. And let me tell you, there is a miraculous thing when you go from sleeping to awake. You go from wherever you came from, wherever we go, to the reality that we have now. Okay, the physical reality. And I'm telling you, sometimes my heart starts beating. And I'm like, okay, I'm awake. I guess I'm alive. And then the first thing I want to do is thank God. You know, thank you for allowing me. Why? So many, look how many people are dying every day. Every single day. You know, just thousands of people are dying. What makes me so different? Do I have wings on my back? Okay, do I have a halo somehow flying around my head? Is there something that's on my forehead that says, okay, save from death? Okay, Eric will not die? You know, I know as sure as I'm living and talking to you right now, unless God comes back while I'm still alive, I am going to die, right? As soon as I was born and the doctor slapped me on my tush, okay, I was born to die. I was one of those rare incidents where I came here pretty much clinically dead. I was a blue baby. Y'all know what a blue baby is? Yeah, my mother's doctor said he had never seen anything like it before. Says he was giving birth to me. I turned around all the way around and went back into the womb. So I was breached and had an umbilical cord wrapped around my neck. And so when I came out, I wasn't breathing, so they had to resuscitate me and bring me back. So I think by the time they slapped me, I was really crying. And they came in, the doctor said, you hear that baby, the loudest baby in the hospital? Yes. They said, that's yours. We just circumcised it, you know. And so let me tell you, it is a wonderful thing to be able to wake up on this side of life. I have an uncle of mine that says, every time I talk to him, he says, you know, I say, how you doing, uncle? He says, I'm doing just fine, nephew. As long as I'm walking on the dirt and the dirt ain't on me, I'm good. You know, it's all extra stuff. It's ice cream and cookies and candy and whipped cream on top. Once you do that first thing is wake up, okay? So thank God for that blessing, whatever state we're in, right? We're to be thankful. Let's go ahead and get over that to that lesson and James, because there's plenty to really look at. We understand that in the book of James, and I think I'm popping here. Let me bring this down some. Okay. I have a tendency, my voice has a tendency to throw. I was in theater, so we were talked to the back of the room, you know, and so my voice kind of throws. And this poor little mic is not used to such a force and velocity coming towards it. So I'm going to scoot it down. Faith without works. The epistle of James cannot be called faith. So we understand a lot of people say, hey, that's all you got to do is believe. Just have faith and you're saved. Just believe and you're saved. And there are doctrines out there where people teach just that. The only thing you have to do is to have faith. Just believe in God and you're saved. Faith without works is dead. And we'll find that in James chapter 2, verse 26. And a dead faith is worse than no faith at all. Faith must work. In other words, if you have faith, then you're going to have works. We don't do works, okay, to get faith. We do works because we already have faith, right? That's a manifestation of faith. If I truly have faith in God, guess what? I'm going to obey His commandments. If I truly have faith that He is God and that I am supposed to obey His commandments, guess what? The faith, the work part of it is I'm going to do the work of His commandments. He gives us a commission to go out through the world and preach and teach the gospel. Guess what? We need to do that. We need to sustain from sin. We need to separate ourselves from the world, right? And all these things. Now let's look at James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. So we have 12 tribes that are now scattered, and that's a whole lesson in itself. People call the lost tribes of Israel, right? My brethren. Okay, again, if he's greeting my brethren, who's he talking to? Huh? Christians, okay? Keep that in mind. I ask that for a reason, and you'll find out. He's talking to Christians. My brethren, count it all joy. Where's that little word that follows? That precedes joy. Huh? What is that little tiny word that goes before the word joy? Go look at the verse. Right before it. People don't have their Bibles open, I guess, right? Count it blank joy. All. There's that little word. All. A-L-L. Count it all joy. I'm going to emphasize, emphasizing that for a reason. Talking to myself, okay? Most of this is going towards me. I have to punch myself in the face every single day and slap myself back to reality. Because even though I may be up here and I seem like a good presence, a person that can present this message and teach this message, guess what? This message needs to affect me on a daily basis. I'm guilty as charged, okay? I forget. I'm human. I have to have the scriptures, the word of God, to remind me, put me back on track. Because I'm a baby, okay? I admit it. I fall down on my knees. God, please, why do I have to go through this again? I'm tired, you know? Please, God, remove this. He doesn't remove it. It's still there. And you go days and weeks and months and years of pleading, and it's still there. You remember the apostle Paul had a thorn in his side. And he was like, God, please remove this thorn so that I can be pretty much perfect, right? I could be pretty perfect except this thorn, whatever that thing is. We don't know what it is. The Bible doesn't tell us what his thorn was. That thing that vexed him, right? That sin that he couldn't get rid of, whatever it was, God says, my grace is sufficient. Don't you worry about it. You're going to keep that. I have that for a reason. We're imperfect, and that imperfection keeps us humble, okay? We can't be perfect, you know? Which one of us is perfect? Which one of us is sinless? There's none of us that's sinless. There's only one, right, that separates us. And if we have that certain thing, that certain sin, as Kelly always says, that secret sin, right, the one that you can't get over that, and you get rid of it, and then it comes back again. There it is. You're fighting with it again. It's like, oh, get it. Whether it's anger, whether it's jealousy, whether it's covetous, wanting something, lusting after something somebody else has, right? Whether it's thievery, taking something that doesn't belong to you, but justifying it. Because, man, this big corporation, they make billions of dollars. They ain't going to miss this little tray here. Get enough. You're going to miss that. And I justify it. You know what? They only pay me $10 an hour, man. I'm worth $20 an hour. Have we done it? But where you work at, right? Take some pen, take some blank paper, copy paper, you know, they ain't gonna miss it. whatever we can find, we justify. But what we're doing is we're taking something that doesn't belong to us. We're stealing. And God commands us not to steal, right? How about lying? Well, society teaches us there's a thing called a what? A little white lie. It's okay. Honey, do I look good in this dress? And he has to think, right? If I tell her what I really think, it ain't going to be a good day. Oh, baby, yes, you look good in that dress. What would be the better way if she doesn't look good in that dress? Baby, you look good, but I don't know about that dress. Okay? And then you tell her why. See, it kind of rides up a little bit too high on there, and it kind of makes you look a lot older. Find another dress. Now you're being truthful. Would you just say, baby, I love you. You look good. But that dress says something. So you put the emphasis on the dress. You told the truth. Okay? But if you had just given in and go, well, you know, it's a little white, like, baby, you look good. Well, she looks ridiculous in that dress. And now she's going to go out and everybody's going to see she really looks dumb in that dress. And then when they tell her, some girl says, in that dress, did he did? And then she's going to hit you and go, why didn't you tell me that? Right? Exactly. So now I have, that's the situation, the decision I have. My wife. Do I please my wife by lying and giving a little white lie? Or do I please God by obeying his commandments that says, thou shalt not lie? Okay? So then we have a choice in life. Now, we go through trials and tribulations. Let's get back to that. Life is tough. And I say this every time I get an opportunity to get in front of you, and I mean this sincerely. And I want all of you who have obeyed the gospel to know this. You as Christians are the toughest, the strongest people I know. Why do I say that? Christians, the strongest people I know? Wimps that won't do anything? Somebody slaps you, you turn the other cheek. How are you strong? We seek the will of God. Is the will of God hard to do or easy to do? It's very, very hard to do. Brother Eric goes into a buffet. Okay, all you can eat. I pay my $12.50. And by legal standards, I can eat as much as I possibly can. And I've violated no law inside of that restaurant. Because the law says I can eat as much as I want. All you can eat. I've got a decision, right? What's God's law say about gluttony? Exactly. We're not supposed to gorge ourselves. My mother always told me this. Eric, good heavens, son. You eat to live. You don't live to eat. You know, because that's what I did. That's why I'm big like this now. I did it out of joy. We put buffets out of business, me and my friends. I mean, we were the 280 was the smallest one. He was the runt of the litter, okay? Most of us was 375 pounds and above, okay? And we put them out of business, literally. And that's how I got so big, just eating. I used to be an athlete. Then I stopped being an athlete, but I still had an athlete's appetite, you know? But that's gluttony. And so I've had to change my ways and try to get rid of that. I blew up to 375 pounds. And then after that, I blew up even more, 400. 75 pounds. I was going to be on Oprah Winfrey. I was getting her number ready. Okay? Because I thought I was going to be one of those guys that's 1,000 pounds. Because I was getting pretty close to 500 pounds. And thank God that I was able to bring that down. I'm still working on it. Let's go back to James chapter 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers, that's different, temptations. That's trial. That's bad stuff that happens to us. why is this man, James, telling us as Christians, okay, that we're supposed to count it all joy? Count it all joy when my family members die, people that I love die. Count it all joy when I lose my job and I don't have a way to pay the bills. Count it all away when the husband leaves the wife leaves the husband. The children go to war and you get a phone call, your daughter's dead. She served in the military, she's dead. What, at that moment I'm supposed to count that all joy? I'm about to go through some trials and tribulations here. I'm hurting. I'm grieving. Okay? We don't have any money. Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Oh, yes, you do. As soon as you get the diagnosis. Yes. Amen. Yes. Yes. Amen. I can't think of anything. Death is nothing to fear. The Psalms tell us all about it, right? You know, yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. You see, when we go through that valley, there's a shadow of the valley of death. The shadow of death. It's not even the real thing, because guess what? When you become a Christian, he takes away that. We don't die. What do you mean we don't die? Do we die a physical death? Yes. But that physical death only takes us to eternal life. It's a transition. We don't die. We transition over from the physical to the spiritual. To the spiritual is eternal. You see, when Jesus Christ, when we obey the gospel, as Christians, if we die, and if we die obeying his commandments, that is, it's a race, and we have to continue the race to the end. There's a crown of victory prepared for us in heaven when we die. That's when, in Revelation, when the Apostle John was on the Isle of Patmos, and he saw into heaven the workings before the throne, or on the throne. He saw God, he saw Christ, he saw the angels bowing down, worshiping the mighty God. He saw the creatures, that is called, worshiping the mighty God. He saw the elders taking off their crowns, bowing down to God because he's so holy and worthy of praise. And what else did he see? He saw all these people that were murdered under the Roman Empire when they murdered Christians. Here they are in heaven worshiping God. That's when John got the aha moment. It's like, oh, we really don't die. Because when the physical body ceases to exist, we're absent from the body, present with the Lord. Okay? So we don't die. What is death then? Death is separation from God. Death is eternal destruction in hell. And since we are not going to go to hell, and we're not going to be there being destroyed and separated from God, we don't die. That's the second death. And as a Christian, you're absolutely right, my beautiful sister, that's a wonderful thing. Paul struggled with that, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. He really wanted to be there with God, but yet he had a love for his brothers and sisters, and there was a need for him to be there to continue to help to support the church and establishing the different congregations throughout the world. And so he was hard-pressed. He would love to die and go straight to heaven. But if God wanted him to be here and to continue to do his work, he was happy to do that as well. One way or the other, right? To live your life as you're going to continue to live it, or to go to heaven, either way, it's okay. So you're trying to tell me, if you have been diagnosed with cancer, you're supposed to count it all joy? Now, let me put that question to you. How many of you have lost your job in the past? Lost jobs. Okay? Now, did you count it all joy when you lost your job? Were you excited? Who was excited when they lost their job? Okay, why were you excited? Okay, so you figured God was doing you a favor and getting you away from a bad situation. He didn't like it anyway. So guess what? I counted all joy. I'm like, oh, God, I guess you don't want me to work here. All right, if it's not your will for me to work here, I look forward to what you have in store for me, right? That's the way I had to get to. At first, you're nervous. Now, how many got nervous when they got, and be truthful, you got a little nervous, right? Why do we get nervous when we lose our job? Thank you, the B word, right? Bills. They keep stacking up. They need to be paid, right? You got your wherever you're living, your housing bill, then electricity and water and sewage. And then if you like entertainment, you got the cable bill. Then you like being connected, you got your phone bill. Then if you got life insurance and you got this insurance, your car insurance, and blah, 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 and the IRS hits you, and then you're still paying the IRS back. You went to college and you got a guaranteed student loan, you're still paying that back. It just goes on and on. The bills just keep coming. And most Americans live paycheck to paycheck and have no savings. So if I don't have any savings in my account, I don't have any sort of wealth, and I lose my job and I got bills, who do I need to depend on? Who can I depend on? That's it. That's all I can depend on. Can you depend on family to get you out all the time? Friends? Neighbors? Not these days, right? Count it all joy. Now we're going to see why. When we fall into different, divers means various, trials and temptations, that is, which is trials. We are counted all joy because verse 3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It's a formula. So think of this as a formula. I go through trials and tribulations. Trials and tribulations equals patience. So in other words, this is God. We always say that he is the, most of us know what clay is, right? And he's the potter. If you're going to, a potter wheel, and you're going to make some clay, you're going to make some bowls. So we're the clay. He's the potter. He's molding us, right? And anybody that knows about making pottery and you get that clay, what's the first thing you got to do? You knead it. You try to get out what? Air bubbles. You got to get the air bubbles out. Because if you put the air bubbles into the keel, pow, it's going to explode. So God is molding us, removing that stuff from us that is going to hurt us in the long run. So now we look at this, when we go through trials and tribulations, as a good thing. That's why we can look at it as joy. So it's like, oh, all the stuff that I have gone through in my life, all the trials, all the tribulations, all the stuff that makes me angry, all the stuff that makes me sad, all the stuff that causes worry. We're human. We worry. As Christians, are we supposed to worry? Nah, we're not supposed to worry. Matthew chapter 6. Okay? Exactly. He's never going to make the burdens too heavy. He is never going to put more on you that you cannot handle. And with that, he will provide a way of escape. There were many times that I was like, God, I just said, I cannot. I can't take anymore. I know what your word says, but like a baby, like a big baby. That's me, okay, telling God. I really did not want to take one more second of what I was, I don't even want to talk about what I've gone through for the last 15 years. Okay, horrible stuff. When you're targeted, it is a horrible thing. Sometimes for speaking out for the truth, you get targeted, and it's an ugly thing. Let me tell you, it's a lot to go through, and you'll lose good jobs, you'll lose your finances, you'll have a big, huge system come after you to try to destroy you. That's what happens when you speak out for the truth. Okay? And so that's happened, and I'm crying out to God, I can't take it. I'm a physical being, God, please. I got to at least sleep. Sleep deprivation, torture. This is horrible. I can't take anymore. And then I have to remember that verse, that he will never put on us more than we can bear. And with that, he's going to provide a way of escape. So if he is beating you and kicking you and putting you through all these trials, and every time you climb up, you're knocked down again, and you're going through all this stuff every single day, what is God saying to you? You can take it. You can take it. Exactly. He gives you strength. Strength comes from him. I can do all things through what? Christ that strengthens me. I can't do anything through Eric that strengthens me. Eric can't do it, but Christ can. That's what I had to come to a realization. It's not about me. It never has been about me. It never will be about me. It's all about he that is in me, indwelling. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. God is greater. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains and say, mountain, hey, you, move from that point and go to that point, right? That's what we have to remember. That's what keeps us on track is the word of God. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and let patience have her perfect work. Let it happen. Because guess what? You have perfection. Like the perfected man that's being rolled down here, Brother J.D., the brave Brother J.D., our song leader and a veteran of the United States who has fought to keep us and free. So he is a war-decorated veteran. Let me tell you. Welcome back, J.D. Thanks for bringing him, Mike. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. All. That's what it's all about. That is the formula. Think about your life. I want everybody to think about everything you're going through, everything that hurts you physically. If you have pain, if you have arthritis, if you have a medical condition, if you have a disability, whatever it is that causes obstacles in your life. I want you to think about it. Things that hurt you emotionally, most of the time you have relationships, and people that you love can hurt you more than anybody on this earth. That's when you feel hurt, is by somebody that loves you, okay, that you love. They can hurt you more than anybody. A person I don't know can hurt me emotionally. They don't know me. But a person that knows me can hurt me. And there's a lot of people who emotionally hurt. There's a lot of people who are seeking psychiatric help from psychiatrists, from counselors, because they're hurting emotionally, right? All that hurt, all that pain, all the trials, all the tribulations we go through, think about it. He's perfecting us. He's making us patient. What does patience do? People have their houses burned down, usually around this time, right? Go figure, holiday time. Christmas time, right? Your house burns down. You lose everything. Let's say my house burns down. I lose everything. But guess what happened 10 years ago? My house burned down, lost everything. Guess what I learned? Jesus Christ took care of me, right? Okay? And guess what? When my house burns down this time, been there, done that. When I lose my job this time, been there, done that. When the love of my life hurts me and cuts me and stabs me in the back, okay, been there, done that. So now we can move on. We've gone through the trials and tribulations. That gives you patience. Have you met an old person, the house is burned down, they go, oh, they're just praising God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. I'm like, you're an old woman. You're 89 years old. You have no family. Everything that you own was in that house. You have no money, and you're sitting there, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. That's an old woman that's been through it. That's an old woman that has gone through trials and tribulations. That's an old woman now that has patience. And that's an old woman now that has been perfected. So let us learn from this in the book of James, the formula to keep us and to get us through life. When God puts us through the trials and tribulations, it's not because he hates you. It's not because he's trying to do bad things to you. As a potter gets the molding the clay, he's trying to remove all the air pockets from you. He's trying to give you patience. And then once you get that patience, now you are perfected, wanting nothing. That's the formula. So now when you go through trials and tribulations, I want you to look at those trials and tribulations in a different way. Say, thank you, God. Why? Because it is a very good thing to suffer as Christ Jesus also suffered. Yes. It's in his will. Thou will be done. Not about me. What did he do? Selfish thing. What is the selfish thing that God did? The big one. Gave his only begotten son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The son loved the father and submitted himself even unto death. But at the end, the very end, before the very end, what did he say? God, if there's any possible way that this cup can pass from me, please let it be. Even Jesus Christ, who came for a purpose, he knew what he was about to go through, and he did not want to if he didn't have to. But when he realized, yes, I have to go through this, then because he loved the Father, he did so. And because we love the Son, Christ, we go through the trials and tribulations like he has them. So what does he tell us to do? Verse 2, my brethren, my sisterin, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, various trials, count it all joy. That is the only way. I can't do it from a human perspective. The human mind doesn't see it that way. That's because we don't live in the flesh. We live in the spirit. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus Christ came to take us from the physicality and bring us into the spiritual realm of life, okay? He taught us the spiritual way. So yes, my flesh doesn't want to go through trials and tribulations, but guess what? The spirit says, you know what? Praise God, thank you, because I know that you're molding me and you're making me a better and stronger person. Any questions we have before we conclude? Anything that I've said that's confused anyone, because I don't want anybody to leave confused, because sometimes my mouth goes before my brain. Yes. Yes, sir. Yes. See that? That's the way to look at it. My house burned down, made me homeless. Because I was homeless, I discovered the church. And when I discovered the church, I came in and discovered the people. And when I discovered the people, I heard the word. And when I heard the word, I changed and repented from my evil ways and embraced the word of God and became a Christian. So isn't that wonderful? How many here that were homeless and came here and obeyed, right? Beautiful. That is a blessing. Count it all joy when you go through various trials and tribulations. Any more questions or comments? Yes. Yes. He will. You're absolutely right. We had one brother here, his name was Vito. And Vito said he went 100,000 miles. He said, I drove 100,000 miles, over 100,000 miles, and went to 50 different states to be able to find the truth. And so that was his whole thing. He prayed. He prayed that God would send him to a place where he could hear the truth. And he finally made it. It took him a while. He was a truck driver. And he drove all those miles, and he made it here. Okay, this has been a very good class, and I hope that all of you will remember everything that's been said here and keep it and use it on your daily battle, okay? God bless you all. I love you all, and may God add a blessing to the hearing and the reading of His Word.